Today on Compassion Radio.
God calls you to something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I was, encouraged, I was like, you know, God's called you to, like, to fly. Mm-hmm. And I, like, you know, I always encourage them, like, a butterfly is beautiful. But if a butterfly doesn't fly, it's simply butter. Yeah. A Christian who doesn't, you know, just engage in life.
Smeared.
You're just butter, right? But you got to have that fly on there, you know, to really be something beautiful in the life of people. And it's simple things. A cup of tea. Okay. Tell somebody, I do it because I love you.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. At Compassion, we spend time on the front lines of Christianity, where faith and action meet, where people just like you are doing amazing things for the kingdom. You're invited to jump on board. Come with us as we discover the work of God in the most amazing and unlikely places. Foundation Bread of Life is an international ministry that's doing some amazing work in Eastern Europe. For starters, they seek out the homeless, helpless, and the hungry in order to encourage them by meeting their immediate practical needs. Then, they empower, encourage, and equip people to live for something bigger than themselves. I'm Frank Montenegro. As we pick up today with part three of this interview, one of Bram's guests recounts how a young man that he was working with was so inspired by what he saw that he wanted to use his gifts and abilities as well to help the poor and homeless.
And so we had a guy come from Ivory Coast to the International Church, and he came on a scholarship. He had only like $1 to his name. He grew up orphan. His uncle raised him. And so he got involved in Bread of Life, and he started serving the poor and the hungry. And he's like, you know what? I never saw poor people before because I was a poor person. I was hungry. You know, I needed clothes. And he's like, God just broke my heart. He's like, I want to go back to my country and go find the poor, help rescue the forgotten, and start with like clean water. He's like, but I really feel like in my country, we have this generational cycle of poverty. We can break this through the education and give them the hope of Christ. And so he's like, can you come to Ivory Coast? Can you help me? Can we work together to do something like this? Cool. And I'm like, phew, I would love to. And so we've seen that, you know, grow and develop into Ivory Coast. And we're seeing many, many people from the international church and also the Polish people saying, hey, can you come to my city? I want to do the same thing. And, you know, it's very simple to pass out a cup of tea. But I think the power is when you do it in Jesus' name. Because then it leads on to other things like, you know, we started collecting clothes because homeless would say, hey, do you have a jacket for me? Do you have shoes? Do you have some more food? And at the beginning, you know, we were 26. I'm like, you know, maybe shoes, but do you have size 13? Probably not, you know. And then food is like, well, we start collecting food. And, you know, and the long story short, you know, we would get a phone call from someone. It's like, hey, I've got some food for you. I'm like, okay. He's like, do you have freezer space? I'm like, yeah, we have a freezer. He's like, no, do you have freezer space? I'm like, well, we can buy another freezer. He's like, no, do you have a freezer? And I'm like, well, what do you got? He's like, I've got 22,000 meals. Like you, when you fly on the airplane, you pull back the tin foil.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like, I've got 22,000 meals for you guys. I'm like, okay, great. So we called the other orphanages, other like churches. We're like, meet us here, you know.
Yeah.
So we distributed that. And then he'd call again. I've got 18,000 meals. Or I've got 12,000 bags of garlic shrimp like you buy at the grocery store.
Tell me again how this all came through this person.
We talk to people and say, hey, you know, there was a food fair going on. And we said, hey, you guys have any food you'd like to donate and stuff like that? And so this came about.
And having all this food, then we needed more contact. So we contacted the food bank, our local food bank. Yeah. Offering so much, you build a relationship. Yeah. So there's this cooperation. So on a regular basis, at least twice a month, we distribute a whole van of food to the poor. And when they have something special, they call us, we call them, and it's this cooperation that we can reach out.
And this is in your city of Poznan.
You're doing this primary
work and inspiring others around the country.
Yeah.
Hold there for a second. I just want to mention, of course, that the thing keeps resonating in my mind is the sheep and the goats. Jesus separates them and says, you know, come into my kingdom. You saw me hungry, naked, and thirsty. Every time I read that scripture, it's not so much about the people that said, when did we see you that way and not do this? And when did we see you and do this? Those questions are kind of incidental to me. I'm looking at the checklist. God's saying, these are the things that people need. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first thing in the story. naked, mm-hmm. unclothed, needing water, needing food, mm-hmm. needing to be visited in prison. So I think about all the times where you have the opportunity now to see these literal situations. You go right to the checklist and say, this is what pleases God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that he always enables the thing to be done that he wants done.
That's right.
He never sets you up to fail. He's not mm-hmm. trying to make a fool out of you. Mm-hmm. He's trying to feed the poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he will enable you to do it. And you're finding new relationships that are helping that to happen.
Yeah. And it's wonderful that we don't have to look for the opportunities because, well, the poor, the people in need, the people we have to visit, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And because of the relationships that we build, people come to us and they ask, can you start a project there? Yeah. Can you assist us with your reputation, with your contacts?
And your credibility.
Credibility, yeah. Because we exist now for over 15 years. And yeah. that has done a good thing. We have been taking part in various projects. We had various grants from local authorities to European Union. So we have our name established.
Yeah.
And that helps mm-hmm. to be trustworthy. And this gives us the opportunity to go there where we are asked. And yeah. that's something fantastic. We don't have to spend lots of time and energy in all whatever forms of acquisition. That we look for the place, where could we serve? No. They come to us and they ask, we would love you to do a project yeah. in our town.
We're talking about the authorities, not just the people in need, but people who actually have the yeah. responsibility.
Yes. Mayors, vice mayors, yes. priests.
Let me explore with you a couple of seconds about the problem of success. When you do a job well in ministry, and all of this is being done in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. but over a course of time, the system itself becomes pretty self-sufficient in that it has enough relationships to sustain the work you do with the poor. And then, as happens in many situations with many organizations over the years, it becomes a humanitarian yeah. effort mm-hmm. rather than a missional effort. So what are you learning about the tension between just meeting needs and keeping Jesus at the center of it?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that God's taught me, and God really, like, go back a long, long way, he really broke my heart. When I was 19, I went to Kenya and worked with street kids. And there was one moment where I was giving bread to kids, and I ran out of bread, and then I was reading the Bible. And, like, these kids, street kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, the 6-year-old, 7-year-old came back up to me. He returned his bread. Mm. And he's like, you know, can you just give me the bread of life? Can you just read Bible to me and give the bread to some other kid who's hungry? Wow. I thought, you know, 7-year-old said that to me. At that moment, I'm like, I think I probably would have taken the bread. You know, and so, you know, when Jesus says he's the bread of life, he really is the bread of life. And, you know, a 7-year-old taught me that. And so we named our organization Bread of Life. So we took that from Jesus. To keep that the forefront of the ministry, to keep our focus. And, you know, whatever we do, like, in Jesus' name, just like the cup of water. So I think that's very helpful for us to keep that focus, and no matter what project that we do. Mm-hmm. And to see always God be faithful in that ministry.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, my wife, I think she was going to kill me. Because, you know, we went for 2 years originally. And, you know, the homeless are like, hey, well, do you have a place for me to live? And I'm like, no, you know, I don't even have a house, and we live in a flat. And so God led on my heart to build a home, you know, for a transition home for homeless men to get back in society as a productive citizen. And so my wife and I looked at some property, renovations, estimated cost about $100,000.
Yeah.
So we came back to the States, you know, told a bunch of people about this amazing project, and we raised $50.
Wow.
You know, it's like, okay, God, that's it. So, but we weren't discouraged because awesome things were happening. People were coming to know Christ. So we come back to Poland. We're serving. The second year we come back to the States, and God increased that $50, 900% in support funds, which $50, 900% is only $450.
Right.
900% sounds amazing.
Sounds great.
Right? But after 2 years of raising, you know, this money for a $100,000 project, you know, we only have $500.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement. But consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for the special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478. Or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
My wife and I looked at some property, renovations, estimated cost about $100,000.
Yeah.
So we came back to the States, you know, told a bunch of people about this amazing project, and we raised $50.
Wow.
You know, it's like, okay, God, that's it. So, but we weren't discouraged because awesome things were happening, and people were coming to know Christ. So we come back to Poland, we're serving. The second year we come back to the States, and God increased that $50, 900% in support funds, which $50, 900% is only $450.
Right.
900% sounds amazing.
Sounds great.
Right? But after 2 years of raising, you know, this money for a $100,000 project, you know, we only have $500. So we go back, you know, serving in Poland, working really hard, come back the third year, and we travel 10 different states trying to raise the funds, telling the stories, selling lots of crafts and everything. And we raised about $15,000. Okay. So like, well, we're on our way.
Yep.
But 3 years, $100,000, we're never going to get there. And I remember sitting with my director in Tempe, Arizona. And I was like, you know what? This isn't working. It's not happening. Huh. And he's like, you know what, Richard? You know what God's called you to do? And I'm like, no, because this isn't happening. He's like, the only thing that God's called you to do, he hasn't asked you to raise $1 million or anything like that. He's only asked you to be faithful to him. So I thought, you know, that was really good advice. And so that very next week, you know, because, you know, missionaries, you raise support. And by this time, you know, my wife and I, we depleted our savings to like $25 or check into $25. And someone gave us a personal check for like $5,000. We thought, wow, you know, we didn't have a car. You know, we could pay taxes. We can get international health insurance. And, but at that very moment, my wife and I, we thought, you know, it's not for us. It's for the people that don't have even what we have. It's the people that need Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And so we gave that check away. And our director says, you know, if you're going to give that check to this New Life Center project for this home, you have to maybe call the family and have them redesignate, because otherwise you have to pay tax on it and
right.
other things like that. So he said, you know, could you call the family for us? Because I didn't know the family. And they said, yeah, we'll call the family and see if they can redesignate the check. So the family says, okay, we like their heart, but we did give to Richard and Brooke, but we would like to know more about this project, this New Life Center. So let's have lunch with Richard and Brooke and see if this project is worthy, and then we can give the funds. So we had lunch with this couple, and we told them what we were trying to do. And they said, okay, this project sounds legitimate, so you can have this $5,000. So we had $20,000 now. So we were really happy. Yeah. And so we said our goodbyes. But then the very next day, this family, they said, you know, God just really touched our heart. So we wrote another check for $80,000. Go and buy your property. So, like, when you ask a question, it's just like, it's just a God thing. So God's always been at the center of it. And I hope and pray, you know, we want to lay this foundation as expert builders that other people can build upon. So one day when we're old and dead and gone, you know, the ministry will continue.
In what order is that?
Yeah. But hopefully, like, this Christ-centered message of the hope of Christ will always be the forefront of the organization.
Can I tell you a very small thing? I've been doing business for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Never had this question, why are you doing this? Because pretty obvious.
Make a living.
Make a living. Yeah. Everybody knows that. Within those few weeks, 2 or 3 months, I've been serving as the director of Bread of Life. Mm-hmm. I've had this question, why are you doing this? Why are you going on fundraising? Why are you serving? Why are you changing a job? Why are you... This question is obvious, and I directly have the possibility to share, to put Jesus in the center. Explain, but we really want to give people hope. And not just a hope by humanitarian aid. No, we want to give them hope in Jesus. And that's something that drives me.
Yeah.
And all the time, there's this opportunity to share the gospel, to share the hope. And serving the poor, it's something, okay, Jesus asks us to do, but also give us the possibility to share what's really driving us.
Yeah.
So for me, that's an incredible encouragement.
The passion,
yeah.
Now, tell me about what is happening with the revival in Poland right now. How is this playing into what God's doing to revitalize the spiritual root of that country?
You know, it's amazing. Like, from one side, you know, just being there for people and loving them, where sometimes people have never seen or experienced love before. And then they go back to their family and they love in such a way. And the family sees the love of Christ. You know, when we bought this property, this New Life Center, we bought it in a village. And at the beginning, when we went there, you know, I said, I need to meet with the village chief and the elders and just tell them what we're doing. And they said, hey, that's really good. You know, what you guys are doing. But the fact, you know, that you're not, you know, Roman Polish Catholic, we don't want you here. And so he said, okay, this will be fun. But we still continue to love and to share with people the hope of Christ. And Brooke, she would put together Christmas packages, like those shoebox packages for like the poorest of the kids in the community, you know, getting school books, textbooks, and stuff like that. And so we really impacted this community. And after a couple of years, because even people say, like, oh, don't associate with those people over there. We're like, really? Come on. From Arizona.
That's pretty scary.
Right? So, you know, this community realized what we were doing and loving them in such a way, like in God's love, that they then went to the county and said, tell us who the poorest villages in our county. We want to adopt them, you know, for Christmas. And so they're imitating these acts, just like Tomek was imitating, Charles was imitating. Now the village is imitating. So one thing that I get excited about, and hopefully we'll see, you know, instead of just one-on-one, maybe it's a village on a village. Mm-hmm. And people coming to know Christ. And also, too, it's interesting, too, is to see Poland change. You know, now it's becoming more Western, in a sense. And, you know, working with the international community and also Polish people, a lot of students, you know, some of them are now saying, oh, I'm atheist. But they're not really atheist. They're more done with tradition, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to them and ask them, like, you know, do you think you'll ever go to heaven? Like, no. Probably not. And I'm like, why not? It's like, man, there's too much stuff I have to do. Mm. And so I have them read like John 3:16. And they read it and then they pause. Then they look at me. They look back at the Bible. And I was like, well, how do you get to heaven? And he's like, belief? Is it really that simple?
Yeah.
I was like, well, what does the Bible say? I said, I think it is. You know, it's by your faith. So I think, you know, people are open to the gospel in that way. So we'll see.
And of course, your example, you talk about the emulating going on here. This is a simple thing. Believe in the one who saves you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you don't stay that way. You get transformed in that moment or that process. and something happens to you. You end up going to a foreign country and becoming a missionary who's handing out cups of tea on a train station.
Yeah, yeah.
You go next door and offer some borscht to somebody in the middle of winter who needs it, or you, whatever. God starts changing you to do His work with others. And obviously, just from the stories I'm hearing today, your church is alive. The people are spiritually alive and are sharing that life with many others. And they seem to be intimately tied in with this work of Bread of Life Foundation. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that there's an outward focus and an inward commitment and a vibrant community. All those things at once.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very encouraging to me to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, Bread of Life, it's funny because, you know, many people come over to do church planting. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And my wife and I, at the beginning, they're like, you know what? We're not church planters. Because I never, ever wanted to be a pastor. Because it didn't matter, you know, the homeless people that we would rescue if they went to this denomination or that denomination. We just wanted them in a good Christian church.
Yeah.
So we were pushing them into all the churches. And I didn't know that God would have me start to pastor church either. And then, like, with the international church, you know, I mentioned they would come, and then a period of time they would leave. Yeah. So we've seen over 165 people leave our church to over 35 different countries throughout the world. And a lot of them go back to China, start passing out cups of tea, or to Ivory Coast. And we have a big medical school and some medical students there. They go back to Taiwan, and now they're leading mission teams throughout Asia, to Burma and other places like that. So it's really almost like a training ground.
I was going to say, training to send.
People that are transformed can't not transform people and places.
Yeah.
They become a transformational, effective work of themselves. I mean, God is living the kingdom out one cell at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it sounds like you are very much in the mind of, let's be the kingdom wherever God takes us.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell the church all the time, whether like you're a Fulbright, you know, professor exchange or whoever, businessman or student, you know, I said, look, you know, God's brought you here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Maybe you thought it was for your work, but it's a bigger purpose than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a Christian, you know, God's calls you to something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I was, you know, encouraged, I was like, you know, God's called you to, like, to fly. Mm-hmm. And I, like, you know, I always encourage them, like, a butterfly is beautiful. But if a butterfly doesn't fly, it's simply butter. A Christian who doesn't, you know, just engage in life,
smeared.
You're just butter, right? But you got to have that fly on there, you know, to really be something beautiful in the life of people. And it's simple things. Mm-hmm. Cup of tea. Okay. Tell somebody, I do it because I love you. New Life Center.
The New Life Center.
Let's pick it up from here then. You got this whole New Life Center for men built. You've got a lot of things going all at the same time. You have a vibrant church. You're sending people around the world. You're like shooting like arrows out of a quiver. So suddenly this little ministry in Poznan has become a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, I know I speak that with a little bit of hyperbole, but it's true. You are sending out missionaries who don't even realize that they're missionaries yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're excited about the work God's been doing in them. And they're very excited that God brought them to be with you in Poland for a time. And now these internationals are everywhere. So tell me some more about the stories of those who went away from you and of those who stayed with you to work on this New Life project.
Yeah, so this New Life Center, over the last 10 years, we've helped rescue about 800 men through the facility.
800 men in that one town?
No, well, the men would come from all over Poland.
Oh, okay.
Because the people knew about the New Life Center throughout the entire country.
Which tells me there's not many centers for men who are in transition or trying to get off the streets then.
Yeah, you know, back then there was a few, not very many. Now there's more, which is nice, especially in the wintertime when it's so cold.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio, first, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.